It's October 4, 2009. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Balser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Let's pray. O Lord, we come into your presence with open hearts. Meet us where we are, here and now. You are God. Help us to find our hope in you for each circumstance of our day, and fill our hearts with your gentle spirit. We ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen. That was Come My Way, sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. Today we begin a four-part series from the book of Mark. We will meet four people, all of whom are invited by Jesus into newness of life. My hope is that you will hear the invitation to new life through their stories. The scripture text today is taken from Mark chapter 1. And our speaker is Dr. George Shillington, Professor Emeritus at CMU. George is no stranger to Sunday at CMU. You will recognize him as the former host of this program from earlier this year and as a frequent speaker. It's really good to have George here again.
A few weeks ago, I attended a book launch at the Mennonite Brethren Ministry Center in Winnipeg. The book, titled A Mission with Passion, is a collection of stories drawn from the life experiences of dedicated orthopedic surgeon Dr. Frank Dirksen. In his professional life, Dr. Dirksen was particularly interested in the plight of people of South America afflicted with leprosy. His skilled surgical work on the disfigured hands of leprous patients has given new hope to many who would otherwise not be able to make a living for themselves or their families. I mention this book and this surgeon because the text of Mark 1:35-45, assigned for our reflection today, is the story of the healing of a person with leprosy. The healer in that text is Jesus. But the disease continues to this day in some parts of the world, and the need for healing continues to this day. In the person of Dr. Frank Dirksen, we see a man who, following his master healer, has given newness of life to people cut off from their livelihood and in some cases from their social network as well. Turning now to the text of Mark 1, let me outline the contours of the story there. Jesus of Galilee went off by himself to a deserted place to pray. His disciples, under the leadership of Simon, went looking for him. When they found him, they let him know that his public audience was searching for him also. Jesus had become quite popular by that time. His message had been well received among the number of Jewish village people in Galilee. At the moment, however, he decided to extend his word and work to other villages and synagogues in that region. He helped people get rid of their demons. Then came a leprous person to him, pleading with him to free him from his disability and from the social shame and stigma that accompanied the disease at the time. "If you choose, you can make me clean," the leprous man said to Jesus. It hardly needs to be said. Jesus healed the man on the spot. Healing people is the nature of the kingdom of God, Restoring people to physical and social and spiritual wholeness is a sure sign that the reign of God is present on planet Earth. That's what Jesus was about in his time. But here is a very strange part of the story. Strange to us modern non-Jewish listeners. Jesus told the man in no uncertain terms not to broadcast the news of his healing, at least not until he went up to the temple to offer a sacrifice to the priest in charge. That way, the man would be officially declared clean and ready to be reintegrated into his social and religious world. And at the same time, Jesus' reputation as a faithful Jewish healer prophet would be protected, for the moment at least. But the man could not contain himself. Forget the priest and the temple and the sacrifice. He had to tell the good news to his friends and neighbors who had been keeping their distance from him to that point. He had to show them his straightened fingers and toes and his healthy skin. No wonder Simon and his companions were out hunting for Jesus. No wonder the people went out from their homes and villages to find him. The reign of God had broken into their lives right where they lived. They had found more help and healing in the presence and power of this Jewish Galilean Jesus than they had found in the rituals of the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. But the temple in the great city of that country was the seat of conventional power. When that political religious power is threatened, especially by a Galilean peasant prophet, there will be a price to pay. It wasn't very long until Jesus paid the price with his life. With the imperial power of Rome and the conventional power of the temple in concert with each other, there was no place for the unconventional power of God in the person of Jesus. He gave his life away for the sake of others, for the leprous ones and the demon-possessed, and all who are sick and distressed. Jesus was and is the man for others. Amen.
That was Beautiful Savior, sung by the CMU Men's Choir. Jessica Dick is my interview guest today. Jessica, welcome to Sunday at CMU.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I understand that you are the president of the Student Council for this year, 2009-2010. All the power resides with you. Is
Absolutely.
That right? Well, welcome here. We were talking about this idea of everyone knows what a president is, but maybe they don't, right?
Right.
It's just like we have this idea of it's the boss, it's the person who runs the meetings, the agendas. But you talked about two things you've been involved in very recently that maybe a little bit outside of what people think of as president. Talk about that.
Recently, I got an email from our staff representative whose name is Marilyn, and she said, Jessica, we've got a community town hall meeting coming up on campus, and Stephen Fletcher is coming. So how can we make this event work well with students, and would you be willing to run the event, and could you moderate questions and do things like that? And I emailed back saying, oh my goodness, like I have no time to put this all together, but hey, listen, I've got another member of executive who would be great for that. Let's talk to her and see if that can work out.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So you go face-to-face with members of parliament as one of your roles, you know.
Oh, that sounds big, but yeah, I guess so.
But you would be the one who would facilitate that connection of this person into the student body.
That's
pretty exciting. What is it that satisfies you most, or one of the things that satisfies you in this significant service that you do? What do you love to see happen in the people around you?
I really very much enjoy seeing other people succeed and feel proud of the work that they've done and the effort that they put into things. And I like to have played a small role in that, either in encouraging them in some way or having done some sort of background work for them or making a contact or however I could help in a smaller way behind the scenes. But to see those people that really took charge of the event succeed and feel joy in their work is something that I really enjoy being president.
Talk a little bit about the Pearson Challenge. You were involved last year as executive. You're going to be taking a lead role there.
Students are encouraged to donate 0.7% of their tuition to the Global Family Program. But that 0.7% is reflecting the 0.7% of the GDP that Lester Pearson, our former Prime Minister, guaranteed would be given to foreign aid by a particular date. And we, as students, are saying, listen, like, students who have no money are able to donate some of their dollars to assist others in less desirable circumstances.
And the Global Family Project, that's with MCC?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And how much is this 0.7% when you break that down? What are you inviting students into?
We've made it really easy on our forms. We say exactly, if you're taking one class, 0.7 is this, and two classes, 0.7 is that. But for a full course load, it's about $35.
So you're actually trying to extend the lives of students beyond their immediate world. Way beyond that.
To look beyond, which I think CMU does for students anyway.
Thanks, Jessica, for coming to Sunday at CMU today.
Thanks for having me.
It's great. And thank you for being that willing leader to take on this role. I know it's one thing to have courses. It's another to have a whole nother layer of leadership that you're bringing in. And you're willingly offering that. And I thank you for that.
I really enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. On October 18th at 7:30 p.m., we invite you to the Laudamus Auditorium for CMU Vespers, a time of quiet worship, contemplation, music, and scripture. Then on October 20th and 21st is the J.J. Thiessen Lectures with guest speaker Peter Ox, who is the Edgar Bronfen Professor of Modern Judaic Studies from the University of Virginia. October 24th, we invite you to the annual fall fundraising event. For tickets, contact Joyce Friesen here at CMU. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at www.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. And you can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless you and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.